toward heaven when we can just keep worshiping. And I'm kind of hot here. Okay, good morning. And how are you all doing? Good. And welcome to New Crossing Church, whether you're in person or watching us live. And if you're watching us live, what you can't see is we got a row filled, every seat filled with YWAMers, which is Youth with a Mission. Can I get a hoo-ah? I love young people very much, and young people are a next generation that are hungry for God. I've been saying that. I'm seeing a spiritual hunger for God in the millennial generation like I have not seen ever, and it's very exciting to me to be able to witness that. And we are in just we're continuing. One announcement is actually Generation Ethan graduated from high school, who was up here in the worship, and he's having a celebration of manhood event our church does for graduating seniors. And so that will be at Aaron and Kim's right afterwards at 1 p.m., so join us. So we had our celebration service last year. You could tell, celebration, celebration. We like celebrating because isn't God worth celebrating, you know? And we, because people just got carried away with prayer and testimonies, I didn't get to the message. No, I'm thankful for that. I mean, testimonies are powerful in the prayers, and we need that. So it's really cool. So I'm bringing you this morning, the sermon that is connected with the celebration service called Yoked, and then we will return to our sermon series in the Gospel of Luke called Paradigm Shift. So you with me? And now I have more time. See, each year at this time, the church kind of runs on a fall-to-fall calendar, and each year the elders of the church ask the Lord what he wants us to focus on in the coming year. And last year, he laid on our hearts the challenge of a paradigm shift, which means that we need to deeply understand what it means to be with Jesus in life and through trials in a way beyond what maybe we understood before. Maybe some of you, actually, we had a baptism service. We had 8 people get baptized, give their hearts to God. And for them, the paradigm shift's just knowing who Jesus is. But even for long-term Christians, there's this continued challenge to understand that in a profound way. And how brilliant is the Lord to know we would need this focus before a paradigm even hit. So we entered into the Paradigm Shift series to know what it means to be with Jesus, and now we understand how critical it is. God's very brilliant that way, that he actually knows the things we don't and what's coming. And we pray, and he prepares us for those days. And that's what he's doing with this church. So the takeaway I want us to have this morning is, or the point is, where your soul is yoked determines if your burden in life is light and you can fulfill the law of Christ. So there's two things that are vital to life, and it's a life that the burden is light and fulfillment of the law of Christ. And we're going to explore that, but let's start before we get into those two vitalities. I'm calling them vitalities because they're vital, but also they give vitality to our spiritual journey here physically when we live our life here. And by the way, I just like the acronym YWAM, and that's not part of the sermon, but it's Youth with a Mission. It's not youth with nothing to do, youth with depression. It's youth with a mission, and that's also what this sermon Yoked is about. Are you stoked? Ooh. Well, are you though stoked? Okay. So first let's talk about yoked with oppression. So let's start there. Turn to Galatians 5. Open up your apps, Bibles. Turn to Galatians 5, verse 1. And we'll have it up here also. And so before we read the scriptures, I like to pray, because in 1 Corinthians 2:14 Paul tells us, the man without the Spirit cannot understand the things of God. It takes the Spirit to discern spiritual things, and Scripture is meant to be spiritual. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning rejoicing, celebrating. And Lord, it's not just celebrating when we graduate from high school, celebrating when we graduate from college, get married, have babies. Once a year in church, we live a life of giving praise and thanksgiving because of the relationship we have with you. And this morning, as we understand, Jesus, your call upon us to be yoked, I pray that your Holy Spirit will give us discernment and understanding of the deeper truths in your word. And all of God's people said, amen. All right. For freedom, verse 1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So what is a yoke? And for the younger generation that aren't familiar with the scriptures yet, or maybe older and you're just a brand new believer, we're not talking about egg yolks, Y-O-L-K-S. We're talking about Y-O-K-E, okay? And we don't live, many of us, in an agricultural world, and so sometimes these terms, we need help to understand them. And so a yoke is this, we have a slide, actually. And so a yoke is this heavy wooden bar, custom made to fit, and usually, draft animals like oxen or horses. And so it yokes them together so that they can do work together. All right? So that's a picture of a yoke. And it looks pleasant, doesn't it? And so Paul is saying, do not again submit to a yoke of slavery. And slavery is, he's referring to the law of God, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and he had so many others where if you go through life yoked to that, trying to make life work, it's impossible. And yet, those commandments are good. This is not anything. God's commandments reflect the goodness of God and what a right relationship looks like with others. So they're good, but on our own, they're impossible to keep perfectly because of our weaknesses and our sinful desires. Okay? So being yoked with the law, we become slaves to our sin because it's impossible to keep them. All those perfect, raise your hands. There's always one joker in the back. You don't need this if you're perfect, but according to the scriptures, none of us are. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it's also, you could think of this yoke of, we can be yoked with the law, but another way of putting that is yoked to ourself. Ourself without God, the flesh, the corruption in us, the things, maybe we even don't quite act out the bad stuff, but even thinking it is evidence that there's things in us that make us a slave to the corruption of our hearts. And so this, again, is us becoming slaves to that because of how we are yoked. Makes sense? Jesus is using this metaphor of being yoked because there's, let's extend it out. They're working. They're pulling something, a plow or a cart. And you can think of that cart as your life, right? And then what's in the cart is directly impacted by who or what you're yoked to. This is why this is important. As much as you try to do right by others, whether in your family, friends, co-workers, friendships, it won't work if we're wrongly yoked. Okay? So yoke, another word you could put in there, and that's why this first point is yoked with oppression. The word oppression is another word for slavery. So oppression is someone who is subject to unjust treatment or control. And none of us want to be controlled. You know, that's part of our pride, you know, our self, our prideful self saying, I want to be my own master of my destiny. I want to do it on my own. But oppression, we are yoked to something, and if it's not Christ, then it becomes oppressive because we realize we can never become the young man, the young woman we wanted to be. And I know that from my own experience. I grew up going to church with mom, and I had every intention, you know, in high school, you know, to be this, you know, just outstanding young man. And as soon as I got out of the house and stopped going to church, that only lasted a few years when I became everything I used to despise in others. And then it humbled me. So not only is oppression being under control of something or someone, oppression also describes the mental pressures or distress that we experience in life. And so aren't we going through that right now, 2020, in a way that none of us, including me, I'm an old guy, but I have not, you know, we have not experienced this level of difficulty and hardship, right? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, actually is giving us evidence of what I'm saying and why it's so important we ask ourselves how we are yoked. And because there is certainly a yoke of oppression happening, people have, now I got to pause, humanity has always been yoked to oppression. We're born that way, actually. But we are seeing it more intensely than we ever have before. So let me give you some of their numbers. And this is talking about just the second quarter of 2020 compared to 2019. Anxiety increased from 8% to 25%. Depression increased from 6% to 24%. Suicidal thoughts increased from 4 to 11%, almost three times. Increases in these problems were greater among younger adults under 25. Also, the racial ethnic minorities, unpaid caregivers. Also, 1 in 10 adults reported starting or increasing substance abuse due to COVID-19 stress. Divorce rates are higher. Domestic abuse has increased. That's being yoked to oppression, okay? And these are the things that should break the church's heart, and maybe we ourselves in the church are going through these things. These are the consequences of trying to create the good life or be the good person without Jesus Christ as Lord. And so our cart that we pull, the life, gets filled with our failures, and that's oppressive. Isn't it? How does it happen? Well, even when we have good intentions and we put in all this self-effort to try and be this better woman, this better man, in hopes of maybe acceptance of God, right? If I'm good enough, maybe God will love me and accept me. But good intentions and self-effort, self-will will never be able to pull that off. And Jesus said, Paul said, for freedom, Christ has set us free. He has set us free from this oppression when he came to give you this full life. John 10:10, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. And that didn't mean a cart full of oppression. So look at that verse 1 again. Who is Paul cautioning? Who's he speaking to? Christians. So Christians, don't make the mistake of thinking, yeah, I invited Jesus in my heart when I was 7 years old, and so that's who I'm yoked to. Paul's talking to the believers, to the church, cautioning them, telling them, don't return to an old yoke, right? And so Jesus wants to set us free from religious formulas and self-will, which result in just a try-harder life that won't work. We must remain hitched to Jesus, who is our bridegroom. We are his bride, the church. And so we got to remain married, hitched, yoked to him, right? Jesus offered you his heart by suffering on the cross so that you could have forgiveness, but he rose from the grave so you could have life. That's what communion is about. Communion is spiritual intimacy. So we must be cautious that we don't yoke ourselves again to the wrong thing. So when I was Google searching for a picture of two animals that are yoked together so that you could see it, in my search for two animals, I accidentally came across an old photo from 1910 from a Wisconsin museum. So I want you to see what it looks like when we're yoked wrongly. You see that? This is from Wisconsin, 1910, and there's this young boy sitting in a small cart pulling a few vegetables, yoked to two turkeys yoked together, pulling this cart. Isn't that awesome? And the cart, in the small cart, is this young boy, not older than 7 and 8, and pulling a few vegetables. And so, is this what you want your life to amount to? Yoked to a turkey pulling a few vegetables through life. Unless you're my wife. She's addicted to vegetables. So let me ask this question again. To what or whom are you yoked to in life? Who or what in an effort to handle life that feels so oppressive sometimes? Okay, and I just want to pause real quick just to speak to the spouses out there here, you know, online. If you're right now have a judgmental heart saying, yeah, I'm married to a turkey, and I'm yoked to one. Can we see that picture again? Who is that turkey yoked to? Another turkey. So you'd better be humble. All right. So how does Jesus lighten the weight in life when we're pulling physically, emotionally, and especially spiritually things? How does he do this? And so let's just start with the first vitality is that we're yoked with Christ and a light burden. So our burden is light, not meaning because there's the wagon's empty and only has vegetables. Don't we want to pull more through life than a few vegetables? So now let's look at Matthew 11. And in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, we read, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is speaking to those who have wearied souls. I love reading the Gospels. We're going through Luke right now to understand what it means to be with God. And the wearied people, those yoked to other things, feeling the oppression, were coming to him by the thousands. And this is, he's speaking to them. those who are laboring through life on their own and even tried to become accepted by God by keeping all those commandments he gave us. He's speaking to you if your life is filled with oppression and you find yourself yoked to your failings. He's speaking to you. Come to me. This is what happens when we're yoked to anything or anyone, even religion, if other than Christ. So it's vital for two reasons that we understand why it's so important to be yoked with Christ. And the first one is he makes the burden light. Amen. This vitality comes from our souls. When our faith, by faith, we allow ourselves to be connected, to work together with Christ. Jesus wants us to live life with him, not for him, just trying to prove that we're a good person, not under the law, though the law is good because that's oppressive, certainly not above him where we think all we need is some good teachings like I used to think, and then I'll be the master of my own life. I'll yoke myself to myself because I'm such an awesome guy. And I'm still awesome, but it's only because Christ is in me now. You can ask my wife on that one. And so he gives us this metaphor of what it looks like, right? And if you're someone that says, you know, I do go to church, but other than that, other than, you know, Sunday with Jesus, the other 6 days, it's, you know, with me, with friends, with spouse, with my girlfriend, my boyfriend, you know, just my job, whatever it is, that's like one animal trying to pull that load, okay? And so I have another picture from the histories of books. And here you see one horse pulling a sled of logs. And so the horse is, and it's about 7 feet high. And it just doesn't look fun, does it? But the work's getting done. You know, it's kind of like it's pulling the load. And the thing about one horse pulling a load, when I did the research, a Belgian horse, which is one of the largest ones, one horse was able to pull 8,000 pounds, right? 4 tons on a sled. That's incredible. And they actually have, I guess, even today, these horse pulling contests. And that sounds impressive, but each year we go through life wrongly yoked, the weight gets heavier and heavier with our failures, our hurts we experience, things that even caused us harm from others or ourselves. And that gets heavier and heavier, and pretty soon 8,000 pounds is undoable. Now, what's going to be powerful in this imagery, Jesus said yoked, meaning we are yoked to someone else. What becomes powerful in this is that if you put two horses together, you would expect to be able to then do what? Pull how many pounds? 16. It's just basic math, right? But there's something called synergy, which I'm not going to go into that, but there's something that happens that is exponential. And so when you yoke two horses in the harness who are strangers to each other, together they can pull 20 to 24,000 pounds together. Are you starting to get the reason why Jesus says, take my yoke upon you? My yoke is light, easy, my burden is light. So they can, two horses can pull not twice, but almost three times the amount. That's incredible, right? Just that alone. And so now I want to show you another photo, but I'll explain it because it's even more astounding. Another old photo of logging. And so what you see in this photo is two horses yoked together, pulling a sled of logs. The sled is wider than the first picture of the single horse. The logs are longer, and they are stacked much higher. And what you see in this photo, in these massive logs that are stacked not 7 feet, but they are stacked almost 24 feet tall. And you say, how is that possible? That even goes beyond, you know, the truth of two horses who are strangers yoked together. For this is far more than even three times the amount. Why is that? This is what I learned. If the two horses are raised and trained together, if they know one another, they, as a unified pair working together, can pull 30 to 32,000 pounds. That's why I emphasized stranger versus knowing. I think Jesus is so smart. He's so brilliant in the uses of his analogies and metaphors and parables. Because when you go deeper into them, they have profound truth. What's the profound truth? Even if you don't know Christ today, and you pray with me at the end of the service to receive him, you go from a one-horse pony show, pulling a cart of vegetables, you know, to be on the pull nearly three times more just by being yoked to this Jesus who is God but yet a stranger in your life. But isn't this the metaphor of life? Is don't stop there with saying, I believe in Jesus. But we continue this journey of what did Jesus say? He said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. In other words, like this illustration, two horses who are raised together, so you become connected to him. And then he says, and learn from me. The truth is, horses that are not just raised together, but trained together. We learn from Jesus in this journey of discipleship. And we begin in this as we increase in our knowing him personally and intimately. And we learn from him how to go through life. Then what anything is possible with God. Amen. This is the first benefit of being yoked to Christ Jesus. And it's by putting intentionally our faith in Christ, not for some things, but for everything. Not just for our salvation, but for a relationship with Christ. Jesus trains us to walk by grace. I don't have time to go deep into that, but we read that word grace, but it's used two different ways in the scriptures. One has to do with God's unmerited favor where we receive salvation because of Jesus' death on the cross. God's riches at Christ's expense. How many of you heard that acronym? Well, there's another acronym, and by the way, I got it from a YWAM leader in our church, which God spoke to his heart. And it's God raises abilities, capacities, and expectations. Amen. Grace is powerful. It's more than just a ticket to heaven. Jesus said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You can trust him because he also said he is gentle and humble in heart. It's not a whip in his hand. Matter of fact, as I was praying about what that looks like to be yoked to Jesus, for me it became a picture. If I'm standing here, Jesus is standing here and he puts his yoke on me, his arm around my shoulder as a friend. That's the character of Jesus, his heart towards you. So How does Jesus accomplish this? Well, we know about the four Gospels, but we find him still in another story speaking. And it's in Acts chapter 1. We'll just read verse 8. And he says, after he is risen from the dead and he's about to ascend into heaven, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so what you see here is that Jesus, in leaving, gave us his Holy Spirit, which gives us that power to do the impossible. How many of you are feeling oppression right now? We need to yoke ourselves with Christ because the burden will lighten. I love Paul, who became apostle, and he's an example of somebody who was trying to do it the right thing, but in the wrong way. He yoked himself wrongly. And in Christ meets him on a dusty road, and he surrenders his heart to him, to Christ, and he learns what it means to walk with God. And he says in 2 Corinthians, be turning there. It's such a cool passage. I just want us to hear it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 10. Tell me that it's not describe us in the season we are in. So he starts off by saying in verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay are what? Weak, fragile vessels, earthen vessels, right? But, he says, to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And so he is saying that to embrace the gospel, this treasure is the gospel story that you can have a personal relationship with God. And so the jars of clay are the metaphor for the weakness of human, but the surpassing power is life by the Holy Spirit. And he is saying this is a paradigm shift that I myself had to go through. But at the same time, it becomes a paradox to the world because we are meant to be these witnesses to the people around us. And he says, listen to the paradox, verse 8. When the world looks at us, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. The world should be looking at us going, how is this possible? You're so different. Persecuted because of our faith, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. How cool is that? And then in verse 10, he says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. That's communion. We die to our efforts. We die to our sin. Jesus forgives it. But then we live this life of resurrection. This is the revival we want in our personal lives, but for the world. Paul, I want to belabor this idea just for one more moment. Paul himself, still as the apostle, just one of those super apostles, still found himself in moments where it felt like too much. He, in a moment of feeling weak and harassed, in 2 Corinthians, just a few pages over in chapter 12, Jesus is speaking, and he says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He was reminded of where he needed to be yoked to be able to handle the burden and the harassment he experiences in life. So what kind of person, people, does God's power, Jesus' power, come upon? Only weak. If you're still strong in yourself, God's grace cannot come into a prideful heart. So we humble ourselves, finding ourselves with greater capacities and power to handle things. Is this good news? So just remember in this first vitality is that power cannot be separated from the friendship of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you what? Friends. This is the one whose heart is gentle and humble towards you. So how do you do this? Well, if we go back to Matthew 11, he tells us, actually, he invites us, these verbs, these invitations. How do I become this horse that is friends with God and trained in his ways? And come to me is his first invitation. Come to me with your heavy yoke. Come to me. Seek my face. Go after God. He says, know me. Seek my face. Then he says, take my yoke upon you is the second invitation, which means he didn't say leave the old yoke on. Sometimes we have to remember to take off that yoke that wasn't made for us to carry and repent of it, which means cast it away from us, and take the yoke of Christ, which is easy and is burden light. Sometimes we try to do both at the same time. We try to walk with Jesus, but carrying all our failures, all our sins, feeling shame and condemnation, depending on others to make us feel better, or all these other things CDC told us about, and it just doesn't work. So we cast them away from us. Take my yoke upon you. And the third invitation is learn from me. Just think about that. It's relational. What do friends do? Do they read each other's email? Do you read a text of a friend? You might kind of like someone else. You like, delete, right? Throw it in the trash. But not friends. And so Jesus has emailed us. He has texted us all these beautiful things. And so when he says, learn from me, we read these things. I know this sounds like simplicity to those who've walked with Christ for a long time, but sometimes we make our spiritual life too complex. What else do friends do besides read each other's mail? They talk, pray. That's what prayer is, just talking with one another. So when your life is yoked with Christ, your soul is rested and your burden is light. Okay, second vitality, yoked with Christ to carry one another's burdens. Our mission, it's not enough just to say Jesus and me. We should get so filled up with his love and this grace that it should be pouring out from us. That's why we have this vision, love God, love one another, and go bless others, right? This is the mission. And so we turn to Galatians chapter 5. Just a couple verses from here I want us to see. We already read verse 1, but look at verse 14. For as he talked about in verse 1, there is this freedom that Christ has tried to give us so that he breaks us free from this yoke of the law of slavery. Then in verse 14, Paul says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In other words, take all those commandments, the mountains, Mount Sinai, you know, of commandments. And he says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Go love like you're being loved. Matter of fact, in John, I like how Jesus put it in John 13. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just a second. Is that a new commandment? I can find that in scriptures. Love your neighbor. That's not the new part. Here's why Jesus said, this is a whole new command. Jesus wrote another command after the Old Testament. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Yoked with Christ to carry one another's burdens. And you say, what does that look like? I just told you. Now go back to Galatians, and he says this in chapter 6, verse 2. What's it look like to fulfill the law of Christ? bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help one another. How many of you right now could name somebody that is carrying a cartload of oppression? I wasn't even asked for hands. Look at the hands go up. That's awesome. Not awesome they're going through that, but it's awesome that you are aware of it. There are people carrying such heavy things in the church. Help carry their burden outside of the church. Fulfill the law of Christ. As you're yoked to him, he's saying, let's go into this person's situation. I know so many of you can't even go to work now, and so you do Zoom meetings, right? You know, and lots of emails and phone calls, and maybe you sense, maybe by the Holy Spirit, he helps you sense that someone here is carrying a great burden, and they're not really surviving it. And so we come alongside them, a friend. You know, it's okay to invite a coworker to a coffee. Wear your mask. Grab some lunch. Grab coffee. Help them carry the burden because you are yoked now to Christ. And he is leading us into the lives of others to help them. I'm finding this more than ever that the things going on in our world, not just the pandemics, everything, the violence, the elections, people get yoked to parties. By the way, vote. Go vote. And I'll tell you which party to vote for. Oh, now you're wondering. Don't vote for the Republican Party. Don't vote for the Democrat Party. Vote for the Lamb Party. Jesus is the Lamb of God. We vote for those that hold up the virtues of God's kingdom. That's how you vote. No, you won't see a lamb ticket on there, but you understand what I'm trying to say. Don't yoke yourself to a party. All right, I'm better stop on that one. I'll get going. But I am finding people, and I'm sure you are too, that could really use someone to reach out to them. And also there are people that don't know that they are yoked to oppression and they could be yoked to Jesus Christ. Jill and I and people in our church, I'm hearing stories of just how, and I applaud, I thank God for this church in the way that you are praying with people. People are coming to the website to sign up for prayer, getting prayed for, their people meeting with neighbors and friends and just trying to reach out to help them do what they can't do on their own and hopefully meet Christ. I said 2-3 months ago that I'm praying for a wave of the next generation who are hungry for the Holy Spirit. They don't know Jesus yet. And then we, in the middle of a pandemic, baptize 8 people. How cool is that, right? It's not over. I'm still praying for more young people to come and find their ways to churches. And you know, you will not experience these things just watching virtually. You have to meet with people. You have to, just like God is incarnational, you may have to help them. I had my son's elementary through high school buddy, he had many of them, give a call, and they live out of state, and I'm the only pastor he knows. I feel sorry for him, and he wants to get hitched. I'm just really using these words, aren't I? He wants to get married. He wants to get hitched, right? And so they asked if I would do their wedding, but he's not even sure he believes in God, kind of agnostic, you know, you could use that word, and she grew up Catholic, and it's like, well, let's meet together. And so they drove all the way here yesterday. They had a wedding to go to anyway, and so we met, and I said, you know, the second most important decision you can make in your life is who to marry. But there's another question more important. And it's whether you believe that Jesus Christ is God. And so they knew they were coming for that meeting because I said, I don't want to talk about the marriage side until we deal with the spiritual question. Because if you get unequally yoked, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, and then you will find yourself with a cart of more burdens and heaviness because you're going trying to go in two different directions. Does this make sense? And so we talked through this and we went through who is Jesus Christ and how we're yoked to our sins. And it was so cool. And at the beginning of this, he doesn't go to church, wasn't interested, and he wasn't sure about God. And she was wanting him to believe, and she herself didn't have a full understanding. But by the end of it, when they understand who this Jesus Christ is, they both got yoked to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there is a world of people, especially the young people, that need us to share the good news of the gospel. Amen. So let me close with this, and we'll pray. Where are you yoked right now? You can kind of answer that by what is oppressing you. Bow your heads, actually. Yeah, bow your heads. What oppresses you? How can you yoke yourself with Christ and find rest for your souls? But also ask yourself, who is it right now that needs you to come alongside of them with Christ to help them bear their burden? So if anyone here or watching, if you realize you've never yoked yourself to Christ, I want us to pray first. And it's so simple. Just say in your heart with me, Father in heaven, I've been yoked to the wrong thing or person, and I can't take it. I've been depending on everything but you. I find my burden heavy, overwhelming, oppressive, and I repent of it. And I cast that yoke away from me. I know I can't make life work. It's too much, and I want your help by repenting of it, asking your forgiveness, Jesus. I believe you went to that cross to save my life, to give me freedom, which I don't have. I don't want to be a slave to myself, to sin. I want salvation. So I thank you that, Jesus, by your blood, you have cleansed me. But I also want to live a life of vitality, a life of promise. And I believe you rose from the grave, and I thank you that your promises are sure and that I now have you in my heart, and I will live a life, a powerful life by your Spirit for the Father's glory. Amen. Now for the rest of us who find as believers we're oppressed, I want to pray for you too. I too, Lord, realize I've kind of let go of the yoke of Christ. Jesus, forgive me for playing religion. You never wanted me just to punch a Sunday card to say that's done and now I go about my own life. I've kind of forgotten you. I've stopped seeking you. I too repent of not coming to you, reading the things you've written to me to give life to my soul, to encourage and embolden my heart. Forgive me. Forgive me that I have ceased in my prayers. I've got disillusioned by life. I started looking at all the problems and stopped looking to you. Forgive me for that. And I thank you that your forgiveness is a promise. You never withhold it. You don't weigh my worthiness by my efforts to to be a good person. You simply say, come. Come to me. And I, this morning, take off the old yoke and put yours back on. And help lead me in a victorious life. Let me experience this easy yoke and light burden. And I commit myself by the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit to reach into the lives of others and help them with their burdens as you have helped me. In Jesus' name, amen.